Well, this is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. As I said earlier in the service, President Ronald Reagan set aside the third Sunday of each January to observe, to think about, to pray for the unborn, to consider the sanctity, the holiness, the value, the dignity, the worth of the unborn, of all human life. And so on this third Sunday of January, we set aside some time to think and pray and consider what we can do, what we should do to preserve and promote life. Now, in our culture, I think as I observe things, there's a bit of a cultural schizophrenia when it comes to children. Cultural schizophrenia concerning children. Schizophrenia, of course, is a disorder, a mental disorder characterized by a failure to understand what is real. Common symptoms include false beliefs and unclear or confused thinking. 0.5%, half of a percent of people in our country are affected by schizophrenia during their lifetime. But concerning the topic of children, I'd argue that a much larger percentage of people in our culture are suffering from schizophrenia. A large portion of our society struggles with unclear or confused thinking concerning children, false beliefs concerning children. Over the last decade, the number has varied slightly, but between 45 and 50% of Americans have identified with the pro-choice position. This means that at least half the people in our country think a woman should be free to take the life of their unborn baby if they want to. I'm not here this morning to give a complete defense of the pro-life position, nor am I here to say, and I never want to imply, that a pro-choice person is evil. I would say, however, that someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus yet sees no problem with abortion is not living out their faith consistently, is not applying the gospel or the word of God consistently to all areas of our world. The reason at least half our culture is schizophrenic about children is because we value children as our greatest national resource on one hand, while on the other hand, we believe that it's okay for their lives to be taken before they're born. As a culture, we're rightfully appalled at the rise of child abuse. Organizations are increasingly diligent to make sure that no child abuser is able to be around a child. We love to talk about the importance of prenatal care, about how women should abstain from smoking and drinking and other harmful things while they're pregnant. Doctors and nurses around the country work hard day in and day out to save the lives of babies who are born prematurely. We even have laws that declare people guilty for murdering two people if they kill a pregnant woman. And yet every single year in our country we allow around 1 million unborn babies to be killed. 1 million every year for over 40 years. Our country is confused in its thinking about children. We hold two contradictory beliefs. We believe that children are our future. They should be provided for, protected, and defended. And we believe that it's okay for doctors to surgically dismember them or inject a saline solution into the amniotic sac of an unborn baby so that the life of that baby is ended. What are we thinking? What lies are we believing? What is wrong with us? Well, I think one of the things affecting our thinking on this issue is how we view children in general as a culture. How we view children in general as a culture. It seems that we increasingly view children as a burden, not a blessing. We increasingly view children as a burden, not a blessing. For example, I tried to think of how this plays itself out in our lives and in our culture, and I came up with a few examples. So, for example, many parents, and by the way, my wife and I struggle with this, but we struggle with the idea of having kids because it would take away some of our freedom to have fun and do the things we want to do. Many assume that having kids takes away opportunity to have fun and enjoy yourself. Many parents would much rather put their kids aside in front of a screen than actually engage them. In 2013, the birth rate in America was the lowest it's ever been. Married couples are waiting longer and longer to have children. Many of us get unnecessarily agitated when babies cry or toddlers pout or kids act like kids. We want our restaurants, our airplanes, our churches, our public places to be as free as possible from the inconvenient disruption of children. Why? Why is this? Maybe it's because we increasingly view children as a burden rather than a blessing. Now, many folks, and I know many of you, I know many, many of you do see children as a blessing. Sometimes we can see children as a blessing for selfish reasons. Sometimes we see children as the way our family name will continue. We might see our children as merely helpers around the house. Amen. Maybe we hope our children will take care of us one day when we're older. Maybe we see them as some kind of status symbol that makes us look good in front of our friends and family. Maybe we see them as a blessing because they're so happy all the time. They're full of joy and laughter and life. Many of those things that I mentioned are very good things and should be celebrated and promoted and cherished. But is there a more fundamental reason why we should value children? Why we should see children as a blessing rather than a burden? Is there something more basic to it? Well, I'm going to argue that there is in a moment. First, I want to, before we go any further, say a few words to those here who don't have children. I know in a room like this, a mixed audience, there are those who don't have children. So before I go on and on and on about children, I want to say something, I say a few things to those who don't have children. First, having children does not mean that God loves you more than those without children. God loves all His children equally and fully. He made that clear by giving His only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who have kids and those who don't. There is no ranking system in God's economy. He loves all equally. Secondly, I want to point out that many, when they hear the talk of children, many are reminded of pain and heartache. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you've had someone very close to you lose a child. Maybe you've wanted to have children but not been able to have children. The Bible is full of couples who, in God's providence, couldn't have children. God is keenly aware of your pain. And He promises to be near the brokenhearted. The Bible also, by the way, is also full of examples of couples who had children as a result of God's intervention. So don't stop praying. Don't stop hoping and trusting that God can make a way when there doesn't appear to be any way. Third, those who've never married and thus don't have kids have an important role to play in God's kingdom work. So if you're single this morning, please don't tune out. Tune back in. This all applies to you. You might have kids one day, or you know people who have kids, so it all applies to you. But regardless of that fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that single people have a very important role to play in the work of God's kingdom. He says it's better to be single than married, even. So not having kids, actually, according to Paul, actually gives single people an advantage in the work of the kingdom. So again, don't ever think that not having kids it means you're a second-class citizen in God's kingdom. It emphatically does not mean that. Fourth, those who are beyond child-raising years can still do lots of things to help kids. This is one reason why PPC is here this morning. Thanks for being here, guys, by the way, serving us today and promoting your ministry. We're behind you, or with you, or praying for you. I hope you get lots of bottles full of change and checks and cash. Those who are beyond child-raising years can do a lot of things. You can mentor children. You can be involved in the work of Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. You can volunteer your time. You can give your money. You can at least pray. You can be an advocate for the unborn. You can serve in the children's ministry here at Preston Highlands. I could go on and on and on about the things you could do for children. Fifth, last thing I want to say to those who don't have children before we get into our text. Fifth, those who are married are not commanded to have a certain number of children. and aren't commanded to have them at a certain point in their marriage or in certain intervals throughout their marriage. Each family will be different. But the Bible doesn't give us specific commands on any of those points. However, the Bible does say in Genesis chapter 1 that one of the primary purposes of marriage is childbearing. That sounds romantic, right? One of the primary purposes of marriage is childbearing. Genesis 1, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, what was the first thing God said to them? Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Having kids is part of the reason why God designed marriage. This means that every married couple should plan on having children. God's plans will not always be our plans. I understand that. But every married couple should think and pray and plan to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. In our culture, dinks should especially consider this. If you know what a dink is, you know it's a couple without kids, dual income, no kids, D-I-N-K, dual income, no kids. Dinks especially should consider this. They should talk about when, not if, they'll start trying to have children. Again, it will look different in every single family. It will be very different for all of us. But if there's a hesitation in having children or the discussion of having children, ask why. Why? Why do you hesitate? Maybe there's a subtle view of children as a burden rather than a blessing. Maybe there's a hidden view of children as an obstacle to your personal or professional goals. Maybe you see them as too expensive or too much work. Maybe, honestly, it's just something you've never even considered. So it's good to consider this as married couples, to think, pray, and plan towards children. Now, couples who aren't married yet should talk openly and honestly about how each one views children to make sure you're on the same page before you take the relationship any further. Having children should be seen as one of the primary reasons for marriage. Be fruitful and multiply. Children should be seen as a blessing, not a burden. And one of the fundamental reasons why is that the Bible teaches we are made in the image of God. Therefore, every single human has inherent dignity and worth. This is one of the most basic tenets of the Christian faith. There is no such thing as a human who's not valuable. Whether that's because whether they struggle with a mental disorder or they're very young or very old or whatever, every human has inherent value, period. That's one of the most fundamental reasons why we consider children a blessing. But does the Bible say anything else about children being a blessing? Does the Bible say anything else about the intrinsic value of children? Well, I'm so glad you asked this morning because it does in Psalm 127. Psalm 127. If you got it, say, got it. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. That's page 449 if you're using the Pew Bible in front of you. Psalm is in the middle of the Bible, page 449. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Now let's divide this short section of Scripture into two sections. Verses 3 through 4, what children are, and then verse 5, what parents receive. What parents receive. So number one, what children are, verses 3 through 4. And number two, what parents receive, verse 5. Number one, what children are, verses 3 through 4 tell us three things that children are. They're a heritage, a reward, and an arrow in the hand of a warrior. What does it mean when it says in verse 3 that children are a heritage? Children are a heritage. Well, that word means inheritance. Maybe your translation says inheritance. Children are an inheritance from the Lord. What's an inheritance? Well, an inheritance is something that someone gives as a gift to someone else. It's usually a gift of great value, given to someone who is loved dearly by the giver. A gift of great value given to someone who is loved dearly by the giver. In other words, you don't leave an inheritance to people you hate. And you don't generally leave, you know, lame, lousy inheritance. Inheritances. It's something of great value you give to people you love. Now, who's the one who gives this heritage, who gives this inheritance of children? The text makes it very clear, verse 3, children are a heritage from who? The Lord. The Lord is the one who bequeaths or gives or bestows the inheritance of children. God gives parents the legacy of children as an inheritance. God gives children as a gift of great value. So God, the Lord, gives children, not biology or random selection or random chance, but God gives children to parents. Now, by way of application, if God is the one who provides children, then God is the one who provides for children. I struggle with this as I even wrote this out this week. God was convicting me and leading me to pray and repent. Having more kids does create financial strains and all those kinds of things. You have to think through a lot of things. And it's tempting just to say, we're done, right? We're done. And look, again, the Bible doesn't say have this many kids and then stop. It doesn't say that anywhere, ever. But what we and what I am prone to do is to take the easy road. Can I just be really honest? Just take the easy road and assume that that's the way to go. If God is the one who provides children, He'll be the one who provides for children. If God gives you children, He'll make sure that they're provided for. If He can knit us together in our mother's womb, forming us into the complex creatures that we are out of a few cells, then He can provide for you when you're a baby, a toddler, a kid, and even a teenager. He can provide for you. He can provide for your children. As one commentator says, how base are those parents who, having received the gift of children, regard them as a burden and doubt the divine kindness in providing for them. Wherever God sends mouths, He sends meat. Children are an inheritance, and if God provides them, He'll provide for them. And verse 3 goes on to say, though, that the fruit of the womb is a reward. A reward. So children are a reward to parents. Now, not in the sense of getting something they deserve, as if they're being awarded, you know, a certificate for perfect attendance or something that they've deserved, but in the sense of getting something they don't deserve. God awards parents with children, giving them a gift they could never deserve. It's a gift of sheer kindness. Undeserved grace. Do you usually think of kids that way? As a reward, as something special that you have no business receiving. As a reward, a gift of sheer grace, something that is given to us in order to bless us? Or do we tend to struggle with seeing children as something we'd rather not receive, a gift we'd rather refuse or take it back if we could, as a curse rather than a blessing? The Bible says the fruit of the womb is a reward, a gift of grace, a gift of sheer kindness. And by the way, this doesn't mean that only children who come from your womb, ladies, or your wife's womb, men, are a reward. All children are the fruit of someone's womb. So, foster or adopted children are still a reward. Why? Because they're still the fruit of the womb. A lot of times when we think about the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday and being pro-life and these types of things, we tend to focus only on abortion, and that's okay. It's a good thing to focus on. But being pro-life also means caring, I think, for orphans and those in the foster care system, thousands upon thousands of them who don't have mommies and daddies right now. Being pro-life means we care about all life at all stages, because every child is the fruit of someone's womb. And therefore, every single child is a reward to those who care for them. The third thing this text tells us that children are is in verse 4. Verse 4, children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. I love this. This is so awesome. I love movies about warriors. Anybody with me? Okay. I know I'm a guy, but warrior movies. So when I watch Braveheart or Saving Private Ryan or Last of the Mohicans, I'm ready to storm the gates of hell. You know, watch The Patriot or something like that. I'm ready to take on the world. When I'm watching Legolas and Gimli and Aragorn and Gandalf take on a host of orcs, watching Rey battle out with Kylo Ren, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, it's okay. When you see these warriors, it does something to me. It makes me want to take on the world. It makes me ready to go. Why? The symbol of a warrior is a powerful symbol. A warrior is someone with strength, someone with courage, someone who's willing to do the things that most people aren't willing to do for the good of others. But a warrior who doesn't have a weapon is not going to be a very good warrior. A warrior without a weapon isn't going to be able to do much good. So what is Legolas without his bow? What is Gimli without his axe? Aragorn without his sword? Luke Skywalker or Rey without their lightsaber? Every warrior needs a weapon. The text says that children are like weapons in the hand of warriors. That's what the text says. Children are weapons in the hands of warriors. A warrior without any arrows is defenseless, vulnerable, exposed to the enemy, likely to be defeated. Children, therefore, serve as a means of protecting their parents. A weapon in their hands, an arrow to protect them. They stand up for them against the enemies in the gate. Verse 5. They fend off those who would attack or harm or take advantage of their parents, especially when their parents are in old age and they enter the stage of life when they can no longer care for themselves. In those moments, children can become towers of strength and provision and protection for their parents. When their parents are feeble and weak and their health is failing. Some of you who've taken care of your parents in their old age know exactly what this passage is talking about. You defended your mom and dad when no one else would. You protected them. You fought for them. You provided for them. You were arrows in the hand of a warrior, defending those who couldn't defend themselves. You were a warrior full of courage, full of a willingness to do good for someone else, namely mom or dad. This is an often forgotten reason why children are a blessing and not a burden. And it's right there in the text. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. That's who children are. What children are. Look secondly at what parents receive. What parents receive. Number 2. Verse 5 tells us exactly what parents receive in their children. Verse 5. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. So let's just stop there. We receive blessing when we have kids. We're blessed if we have children, not cursed. The word for blessed literally means happy. Happy are those with kids. Trust me, I wish Susie was here to verify. That doesn't mean that your life is filled with unending smiles and laughter. Especially when your kids come in and wake you up at 3 a.m. because they still don't know exactly how to go to the bathroom by themselves. That's not happiness that happens in that moment. I can promise you. Happy. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man. Children are a gift and a reward, a joy and a blessing. No matter how hard things get with our boys, many times I'll sit down and just watch them play, look at books, wrestle, even argue. And I'll just sit back and think, I'm incredibly blessed. I'm the richest man in the world. How on earth do I deserve this? Notice what the text says next. The text actually says, we're blessed if we have lots of kids. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them, with these arrows. A quiver is what holds arrows. It's that thing you wear on your back, you know, holds your arrows. So if you have lots of, if you have a full quiver, then you have lots of arrows, lots of children. Again, the Bible doesn't say how many we should have. I want to be very careful, very clear. The Bible doesn't give us numbers on reason, because if it does, we'd all be very legalistic and we'd all compare and compete with one another whether we've reached some standard. But the Bible is clear and emphatic in not giving us a number in view. But it does say that the man with a full quiver is very blessed. In other words, in the battle of life, the more arrows a warrior has, the better. This certainly goes against the grain in a culture like ours that generally thinks that it's weird to have lots of kids. Susie told me yesterday that apparently Chip and Joanna Gaines are getting hate mail for having their fifth child. And again, it's not about the number. But in our culture, having more children is often thought as weird and unnecessary and even bad. The Bible doesn't tell us how many kids we should have, but it does tell us that there is blessing and happiness in having a full quiver. So according to Scripture, as we've seen in this text, children are a blessing, not a burden. They're God's gift and reward, meant to defend and protect their parents, meant to bring happiness and reward and blessing into their parents' lives. On Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we need to understand that valuing human life means more than standing against abortion. Valuing human life means seeing children the way God sees them. In other words, if we saw children as a blessing, we might, as a culture, we might see abortion as increasingly horrific. But we often don't think that way. The idea that children are a blessing from God will be countercultural in a culture like ours. We live in a culture that values animals more than humans. A culture where many people get more excited about their pets than possible children. May it not be so in the church. Animals are fine. I grew up on Noah's Ark in East Texas, okay? I love animals. They're not more important than children, because they're not image bearers of God. A schizophrenic culture that punishes those who kill the unborn accidentally and yet allows doctors to kill them legally should be addressed. We aren't thinking clearly on this issue. As Christians, we must humbly yet firmly push back on the widespread belief that children are not a blessing from God, but could rather be discarded any time they threaten to inconvenience our lives or burden our lives. The 3,000 preborn children who die every day in America need us to speak for them, pray for them, and act for them. They need us to promote and proclaim the truth that every life is intrinsically valuable and that children are a gift from God. Oh, what if we thought that children were a blessing? 3,000 kids' lives might be saved every day. 3,000 a day are perishing because they are seen as a burden. Of course, the only thing that will sustain us in this work, church, is the reality that God allowed His only child, His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we might live. He sent His Son not to be a burden, but to carry our burden of sin and guilt and shame to the cross, receiving the consequences of rebellion that we deserve, so that any of us who trust in Him and turn from our sins can be called sons and daughters of God. Jesus took our burden so that we can receive God's blessing. And in response, may the truthfulness of this gospel that we've sung about and heard about, may the truthfulness of the gospel compel us to live as children of God who see children as a blessing from God. And may we do all that we can do in order to promote the inherent value of every child and the truth that children are a blessing, not a burden. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You would help us to see how this text applies specifically for our lives. I pray that You would take Your word and write it on our hearts. causing us to remember day in and day out that kids are a blessing. Babies are a blessing. Toddlers are a blessing. Teenagers are a blessing. Lord, may we remember consistently and increasingly that children are a heritage, an inheritance, a good gift from a good God, a reward, an arrow in the hand of a warrior, a blessing meant to increase our joy. Father, help us to see children as you see them, and help us to be light in our dark culture. Help us to be salt. As we engage people who disagree with us, help us to be kind and considerate and compassionate. But help us also to be convincing and persuasive as we think about the unborn, as we think about abortion, as we think about taking care of the orphan, as we think about foster care and adoption. Help us to increasingly see kids as a blessing and not a burden. And please help, Father, those who have pain and heartache, maybe because of some role they played in abortion in the past, please bring healing. The same God who judges is the same God who saves. I pray that you would remind your children of your grace and your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you would help those who don't yet have children to think biblically and clearly and courageously about children. And I pray that there would be no comparing and contrasting in our church, that if we have more or less, that we are somehow more or less valuable in your kingdom, Father. May we love and encourage one another wherever we are, whether we have children or not. Father, help us to love and encourage one another in this way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.